Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cafe Esoterica Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Come on in, pull up a cozy chair, and listen to wonderment as we bring you the most enlightened guests on web radio. I am your hostess with the mostest, Sean Cohen. That's me. A psychic, medium, metaphysician, author of 4 books, teacher of esoteric knowledge for 37 years and counting, which is why I am so proud and honored to bring you the authors and practitioners in the know from the Mind, Body, and Spirit Compendium of Life, as well as experts in divination and holistic healing, fabulous tarot readers, wise and profound astrologers, and even the odd rock star, just for your edification and enlightenment. We've been on hiatus, but we're back in the saddle again and raring to go for our 4th season of Cafe Esoterica Radio, broadcasting to you live every Thursday at 7 to 8:30 p.m. UK time, 2 to 3:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, and worldwide. So find your time zone and dive in. Want to be part of the show? Please do. Call in on our new number, which is 858-956-3204. Chat in our chat room, which is located at the end of our landing page on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't find it there, just refresh your page and it will appear. Can't catch us live? Not to worry. You can find us on many formats like TuneIn, Podbean, Stitcher, and now Spotify. And you can watch me simultaneously broadcast our show every week live on YouTube. Just go to YouTube.com, put in the search Cafe Esoterica Radio, and you'll see me there live talking to you. So grab your latte, your cappuccino, perhaps a herbal tea, and your best friend, and trip the light fantastic with us once more. And as always, your table is reserved. So come on in.
Welcome, everyone, to another stellar edition of Cafe Esoterica Radio. I am your hostess with the mostest, Sean Cohen. It's nice to see you, nice on the YouTube. I could not get, for whatever reason, I have 2 computers, 2 laptops going here, and I could not get myself to broadcast on Facebook. Now, either they heard the word, look, this is the world we live in, folks, it ain't pretty. Either they heard the word naturopath when I typed it in, because my guest today is a wonderful holistic doctor. She's a naturopath and a homeopath. Her name is Maria Cronin. And I see you, Maria, you've called back in. So just hang on there if you're listening to the show, which I'm sure you can hear me. And so welcome, everyone. Welcome back. It's another edition. We're just cooking along here. I've got about 4 or 5 more shows before I take a break. And each guest, a gem of wisdom. So let's thank my last guest, which was cantor and author Elliot Tallenfeld, who wrote that deeply inspirational memoir called Through a Still Imperfect Lens. And you can, Elliot's website is beautiful. It has all kinds of personal sort of spiritual experiences. And he was a lovely guest, Elliot, and I was very happy to have him on from my own neighborhood, Pittsburgh, PA. Grew up down the road from me, go figure. And we never met. And I live in London, as many people know, but I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. And the odd occasion I might have a Pittsburgher on here, but it isn't likely, you know. So that was very special. And that show was dedicated to a woman we both know and loved, Mrs. Clarine Karsh. Now, his all the W's, his website, stillimperfectlens.com. Next week, I'm off. I was going to have a guest, but Justin Hayward's in town, and this girl can only be in one place at a time. I haven't learned to bilocate yet. So Justin is, I love the Moody Blues. I'm actually working on a musical for them. I am writing it in my spare time, and I don't want to tell anyone the plot, because God only knows they'll steal it right out from underneath me, but I've been working on it for some time. I'm hoping to have it ready next week and maybe slip it in there and see if he'll read it. But, you know, maybe not. Maybe it's all a fantasy. Who cares? I love the Moody Blues. And since Graham retired, the drummer, John and Justin are out on their own doing their solo tours. And these gentlemen are not getting any younger. They're gorgeous, both of them. But, you know, there comes a time. So I just thought he's going to be at the Union Chapel in London. It is a beautiful venue. It's a church. And it's stunning inside. And I have been wanting to go there. I haven't been there. Everyone tells me about it. So I'm very, very excited that I got a ticket. And can I just give Justin a plug? You know, the voice of the Moody Blues, the man who wrote Nights in White Satin and many other beautifully spiritually just gorgeous songs, just gorgeous. I don't think they compare to anyone, you know. And if you're a spiritual person and you're looking for upliftment or a depth of feeling, I don't think you could do better than them, to be honest. So all their back catalog is great. It's all on Spotify. Aren't people lucky today? They don't have to spend a penny to listen to music. In my day, you had to go to the record shop and you had to buy an LP and you savored it. It was gorgeous and you handled it with such fragile fingers and you sat and you listened to the whole album, both sides. And then you discussed it with your friends. It was a real experience. And when I go to see someone like Justin Hayward or John Anderson of Yes, I'm reminded of those days, and they were glorious days to be young. So I'm very grateful I'm getting to go. But anyway, that's why I won't be doing a show next week. But the week after, we'll be back with a woman who is a homeopath as well. Today my guest, Dr. Cronin's a homeopath as well. But this one, Ananda Moore, made a film. And the film was at the Sundance Festival. And it was called Little Pills. And it's really, really important that we save homeopathy and I'm going to talk to my guest about that too. Okay, so that'll be not next week, but the week after. Right. Let me bring up my guest. I'm going to read her bio. It is, these are her own words right off of her own website. And her website, let me give that a plug. Is where is it? Thought I have it here. Well, that's great. She'll have to tell it to me because I don't have it written in front of me. Oh my God, I thought I had it. Where is it? Okay, well, Maria will tell us. But anyway, it says here, no natural health through naturopathic care. I am a naturopathic doctor and specialize in homeopathy. I specialize in autoimmune and neurological conditions, including autism, women's and children's health, thyroid disorder, that's my big problem, psychological disorders such as anxiety, depression, borderline, schizophrenia, and PTSD. Rare neurological conditions such as transverse myelitis, which she says she suffers from, and others on the neurological spectrum that can be a mistake for MS are of particular interest to her practice. She only prescribes naturopathic and homeopathic medicines in practice, but can also work with your prescriptions to create a safe and effective medical approach to your being. She networks with MDs and doctors of osteopathy, etc., to organize her patient care and participate in nearly every aspect of their journey to health. So she also works on Skype, email, phone consultations. She's largely in the New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and beyond radius. She lives in Vermont. Let's bring her up. Naturopathic doctor Maria Cronin. If this is you, which I think it is, welcome to Cafe Esoterica Radio. Hello, Maria.
Hello. I'm in Vermont now, actually, which is a little bit east.
Yes, I know. I forgot to read that part. I'm currently in license for the state of Vermont. That was the last bit. Tell us your website, because I can't believe I didn't write it down. I must have. Oh, here it is. I found it. Oh, no, that's your email address.
Yeah, it's just my name. I have a Facebook page, and I have a old website that I made current and things like that, but it's still just my name, Dr. Maria Cronin.
But is there a .com? Is it... How did I find this now? I must have found it through that. So
I know, I'm trying to get as far away from that old web page hassle as possible. So,
but it's very thorough. It gives you, I'm reading from it, so it gave me everything. I think Google Dr. Maria Cronin. Cronin is spelled C-R-O-N-Y-N for our listeners and viewers. We're on YouTube. Let me just explain, and then we'll dive into the interview. I normally try to get Facebook up, YouTube, and I'm on Blog Talk Radio. It's very confusing if you're a guest on the show because you think to yourself, "What is she talking about? Where is she? Is she on YouTube? Is she on?" The main hub is Blog Talk Radio, which is a studio, a virtual studio on the laptop, and that's what Maria is talking to me through now. You can watch me, just me, on YouTube. Talking to Maria, Dr. Maria, if you want to go to YouTube.com and put in Cafe Esoterica Radio, there's a chat box there. You can ask questions for the good doctor right here. And also we have a chat box at the bottom of the Blog Talk Radio page. So if you don't see the chat box, I've already written something in there. Just refresh your page, scroll down, and you'll find it. We do have a call-in number. Let me sprout that to the public. I see we already have a few callers. We have three callers already in the queue here, which is great. We'll get to you, callers. Just hang in. The area code is, if you're outside the United States, because we, our guests, you know, we're all over the world, so you have to dial the states to get into the queue to talk to Dr. Maria. So 001 is the code to the U.S. of A. And then it is area code 319. No, scratch that. That's the wrong number. Area code 858-956-3204. Now, let's go back to Dr. Maria. So I'm going to ask Dr. Maria a series of questions. She will answer and fill in the gap. And we are going to begin. So what made you want to go into healing and naturopathy or homeopathy particularly, Maria? Tell us about your background.
Yes. So I was always going to be in healthcare, and my first job was as an x-ray tech. And I had been trained to be an x-ray technician through the military, and I had an aching back all the time since I was in the service from the time I was 21. Now it's 30 years later, I still have back aches. So I was doing x-rays for years, you know, like 5-6 years, and I couldn't believe I was pretty fit. You know, I could run and everything, but I had so many aches and pains. I went to a naturopathic doctor.
Right.
And I was in Buffalo, New York, and I had to cross the river over to Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, and he got me absolutely shipshape in 6 weeks. I didn't have any pain, did a little bit of acupuncture. He did a little bit of homeopathy. He changed my diet, gave me a couple of supplements, and I felt like a different person.
Wow. So,
back to school.
So do you mind me asking when that was?
That was 25 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
And I graduated from, he encouraged me because I was looking at graduate schools, and he encouraged me, and I applied, and I went to naturopathic medical school down in Arizona, in Tempe, Arizona, and I graduated 20 years ago.
That's fantastic. So
the difference between regular medicine, you know, so I was in the hospitals doing x-rays and different studies in radiology, and I found it quite barbaric. And I saw the difference once I was exposed to naturopathic medicine, the effectiveness the inexpensive way of treating people, you know, with some over-the-counter herbs and things like that. But what really blew me away was the homeopathy, because I had never experienced that before, and I felt so utterly different. It was hard to even describe. And
yes.
I became really on homeopathy.
Homeopathy is so controversial right now. It's always been controversial, but it's really hot to trot right now. And I have loads of questions about it later, so we won't talk about it right this second. But I am a huge advocate of it. I raised my daughter on it. And my God, I would use nothing else. But that's just me. You know, I'm all for natural medicine. So we're going to talk about all these things, right? So again, always with my guests on the show, and we've been running a couple of years now with this show, and all my guests, whether it's holistic doctors or practitioners such as yourself, people into spiritual things, people into, you know, mind, body, spirit, whatever, even the odd rock star I have on here, they always have this beginning where there was a problem. It's very interesting to let the audience know this, is that there was a problem or an issue, and the problem or issue took them into the actual thing they began to do for their life's work.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting. You know, we call this in astrology the chironic wound, and I had an astrologer recently, Moon Zlotnick, and she was a twin, and her twin died. And she was fascinated by astrology, but when her twin died, she really started to, you know, dive deep into it. And she learned how to do not only the birth chart, but the death chart. And she realized that she could let her twin go, because the death chart showed she had lived her life, and her life was complete. And so it's that kind of stuff, you know, where people have issues. I met many doctors in my life, many nurses, because I used to be a nurse, and they all had that thing. My mother was sick, my brother was sick, my uncle died, somebody, I had polio, you know, whatever, and coming through that to find that they wanted to be that too. So it's a very interesting point that your back was hurting and you got healed and then moved into natural medicine. So
yeah.
I want to ask you, this is a big question. We're going to talk about these issues. Why do you think naturopathy is not available in every hospital? That's a big question. But
so earlier, did you say you're from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I grew up in Pittsburgh.
They just closed Samuel Hahnemann School of Medicine. Do you know Samuel Hahnemann was the founder, the father of homeopathy?
Yes, I know that, yes.
And they just closed the Hahnemann School of Medicine in Pittsburgh.
That's shocking.
And from the day that he discovered homeopathy and was trying to teach his colleagues, he was also suppressed. His information was suppressed, and they just all argued together. And this is back in the day, you know, of bloodletting and leeches and mercury. And he would yell at them, "You will kill your patient. You have to use minute doses, smaller than you even realize. You have to dilute everything down and down and down, or you're just going to kill your patient." And the information was suppressed. And then every naturopath in the United States knows about the Flexion Report in whatever year that was, around the Great Depression, around 1929.
Yes.
Financially, it was the Rockefeller family, I believe, that commissioned the report saying that medicine had to be proven with scientific method. And they would only fund research when things were studied with scientific method. And then suddenly, all the doctors in the country who practice, you know, diet and nutrition and herbal medicine, all the midwives all over the country who could stop the bleeding after a baby is born with herbs that they grow in their own garden and everything, everybody started to get suppressed a little bit, and they only funded studies, and thus was the birth, which is less than 100 years ago, of true Western medicine, which became all drugs, all vaccines, all the time.
Yeah.
And that's the history in North America.
The
so that division that division took place less than 100 years ago. So, in fact, it is the youngest medicine on the planet, certainly, because we know Chinese medicine and acupuncture is thousands of years old. Herbal
yeah.
medicine is since the beginning of time, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting.
So
the new kid
on the block is the one with all the money and suppressing all of the old information and old writings
yeah.
and closing down Samuel Hahnemann's medical school. Recently,
sure.
I met a medical doctor who graduated from the Hahnemann Medical School like 15 years ago, and she
yeah.
didn't know what homeopathy was.
She graduated
she didn't know what
from the school, but
well,
she didn't. How is that possible?
Because they suppressed all of Hahnemann's great work. She went to, it's a traditional medical school. It's not a school for homeopathy. It was a traditional, Samuel Hahnemann was a traditional medical doctor.
Right.
And his medical school in Pittsburgh was a traditional medical school. But nobody who went there to become a doctor knew that the father of homeopathy was Samuel Hahnemann, and they don't even know what homeopathy is. They've suppressed it so much. The word homeopathy is literally only a buzzword, and nobody knows what it is in the regular medical community.
I will say this, that when I came to England in 1985, having learned all about these things myself, you know, I left nursing because of all that. I didn't stay in it, but I was trained by some holistic metaphysical teachers. Thank God they were attached to my school metaphysics. So it was very unusual. I was very lucky. I was well into Edgar Cayce and all his herbal remedies, and I studied herbal medicine in that school. So I myself wanted to go on to become a naturopath. So I was well aware. So 1985, in fact, I told you this in an email. I got into the School of Naturopathy in Oregon. I applied and got in. They said, oh, we'd love to have you. Of course, back then in 1984, it was 20,000 plus a year or a term. I can't even remember. And there was no grants, no funding for alternative medicine, holistic natural medicine. Of course, that has changed maybe today. That's one good thing. But back then, I couldn't come up with that money. So I moved on. But when I came to here, to London in 85, I must say that homeopathy was on the NHS. Homeopathy, I went to the homeopathic hospital a couple of times in my 38 years of living here, whatever it's been, 37 years, and 34 years, actually. And that's now shut down. No, that's not shut down. That's changed from just a homeopathic. It's not bad, but I went there for an appointment and it was a regular doctor. And I said to her, why are you a regular doctor? I thought I was coming to see a naturopath or a homeopath. She said, oh, no, we actually are, listen to this, renting rooms
yeah.
for... So that's another way they get in. You know, they get in slowly, insidiously, and then they shut them down. So we NHS is fighting very hard now to keep homeopathy on it, and a lot of them are gone. One of my dearest friends I worked with at the Primrose Healing Center in London, all the movie stars came there, you know, Steven Silver, God bless him. He invented something in homeopathy. Like a vibratory machine that allows the remedy to be created. I don't know the details because God knows I don't know all that. But he's wonderful, Stephen Silver. Big shout out to him. And he's done something beautiful for homeopathy. But he too, he's retired now. And it's very sad because this generation has to hold on to it. Otherwise, it's going to be gone.
Yes. And even in my own profession as a naturopath, because in Vermont now, in the last year, I did get my license to prescribe pharmaceuticals, but so many of my colleagues don't even use homeopathy. And it's such a shame. It's really, really fallen out of favor, particularly in the last 10 years. Because 20 years ago when I graduated, we all learned it, and it wasn't everybody's cup of tea. Some people really like acupuncture more. You know, you learn all these treatments, and you sort of kind of pick your specialty, you know, whether it's herbs or acupuncture or homeopathy. But now it's seldom practiced, even in regular naturopathic offices. A little bit, but not very much. It's sad.
Really. That's why I have the woman coming on in 2 weeks' time, Ananda Moore, who did Little Pill. And
I know her.
You know her. Well, she's my next guest after, not next week, but the week after. I try
and
to promote. I'll send you the link. It's a wonderful movie.
It's actually Magic Little Pills. It's a great movie.
Magic Little Pill. Thank you. Yes, that's right. In fact, the notes are right here in front of me.
I don't think magic, but it's a good movie.
Actually, her website, www.magicpillsmovie.com. Okay, so there we have it. I just want to say that I think you and I and my listening audience is usually pretty hip. People don't tune into a show called Cafe Esoterica unless they're already on the path. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And because why would you, right? Esoterica means something outside the usual, everyday, mindless experience, you know? And natural medicine is the original medicine. Why would you take a grind up, synthesized, not compatible with your own body pill that's supposed to magically somehow heal you, which actually gives you more toxic debris in your body, in your liver, in your brain, in your bloodstream, in your kidneys, and builds up over time? Imagine you're taking statins. Imagine you're taking anything daily, builds up in your liver, and then call that healing. I mean, it's so insane, actually, that it makes you wonder who's behind it. You know, when you begin to understand that nothing, none of that crap is actually healing, right? None of it. But what is healing is when you give the body something that is synergistically and energetically harmonious with it. I always use this example. If I poured gasoline on a flower, how the hell is it supposed to grow? And the opium epidemic that we have in America right now, I'm going to talk about epidemics before we go into the break. So we have the opium epidemic for chronic pain. We have everybody is on some sort of psychotropic pill over in America. We have, and they like that here too. You see, they follow America, which is the worst thing they could do in the UK. And then we have, you know, the chronic thyroid disease, which I have. Okay, I've been fighting Hashimoto's for 23 years now. It's coming up to 23 years. And I had to go through adrenal fatigue, get my mercury fillings out. My God, we'll talk about this because I know you specialize in thyroid, as well as many other things. Diabetes off the Richter scale with diabetes, right?
Very
cancer,
much.
Cancer.
Cardiovascular disease.
Yeah. So what did I want it? So here's what I want. So we're just prefacing all that, right? So I wanted to ask you, you know, why? I mean, this is a very generic question, but for our listeners, why does illness happen in the body?
That is a virtually unanswerable question. What do you mean, why? Illness is affecting life.
If the body maintains homeostasis, it shouldn't get ill, technically, right? I mean, technically,
no,
right?
Homeostasis is like nirvana, basically. It's very hard. We live in a very dirty world, but people have always gotten sick for a variety of reasons. There are bugs that will kill you. And now we live in a very dirty world where the pollution and the over-the-counter medications and the pharmaceutical medications, they build up in you and it weakens you. But there are countless genetics are reasons for illness. There's countless reasons for illness.
Okay, that's the correct answer. I'm not saying yes or no. I agree with that. But what I was saying is that if in an ideal world, how would the body
exist?
It doesn't exist. Well, on this planet, that's true. It doesn't exist. If you went to the fairest, a lot of people are moving to Costa Rica. You know why? Because they think it's organic food. It's not as polluted. The water's pure. You know, all this stuff.
And now the Amazon is on fire, and the air is more polluted than it was before.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. See? Interesting. Okay. So what's a better question then is how can we try to keep well? What's the best opportunity, if you will, or protocol, if you will? I know this is individual to each person, but in a general sense, what is the best way to maintain some sort of health?
Well, everyone, first of all, people have to go to the doctor. They have to find a doctor that they like to work with. Because when things do go wrong, if you just go to an urgent care or an emergency room or Google something online or just go to the pharmacy and take something over the counter for something like pain, you know, you're ignoring your health. And if you ignore your health, it'll go away. So you have to pay attention to your health. Women, of course, are so much better than men at attending to their health because women have cycles and ailments, and we know our bodies a little bit better than a man does. Usually men don't pay any attention to their health unless there's something very, very wrong and they're in their 50s.
Right.
And they've had their first heart attack or something. So you have to pay attention to your body. You have to seek the kind of treatment, you know, you have to do your research. And many women also have children that they take care of, so they're just much more in tune with this. And you have to find your doctor. You have to find the treatments that you want to try. And it's a philosophical approach, too. If you only care about killing the pain with a pain pill or, you know, just eliminating your allergies with an allergy pill, there's plenty of that, right? But if you have long-standing problems with your digestion or you're always tired or something like that, and you really want to get to the bottom of it, you know, you start to search out your treatments that work for you and that you like and stuff like that. And health is a lifelong journey, right?
Yes.
I was in my 20s and I had back pain. I went to physical therapy and an orthopedic told me, you're going to have surgery. And I went, what? I'm 24 years old. And he said, no, and I haven't. And I went and found what made much more sense to me, but also what immediately worked and made me feel so much better. And I felt so empowered.
Yes.
You know?
Good. Yes. We're going to stop you on that point. We, the collective me in my head, me, and we're going to go to our first break, Maria, because it's already that time. And so we're going to take a little break, folks. If you want to call in and speak to the good doctor about whatever ails you, Maria, you're willing to take calls?
Yes.
Okay, good. So it's area code 858-956-3204. We have two callers in the queue. We'll come back. We'll talk a little more, then we'll go to some calls, okay, folks? And that's for you two out there in YouTube land or whoever else is listening. Okay, so we're going to be back. Wet your whistle, go get a nice herbal tea, and the doctor is in. And today, Doctor My Eyes by Jackson Browne is our first song out. 3 minutes, we'll be back.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and
The songs, don't you think, Maria? Did you like that?
I loved it.
It was, I know, we have a theme. I always have a little theme for my guests, you know, something that really makes sense, you know. Tonight it's healing, basically. So, all good stuff, and being spiritual healing too, you know. Okay, so let's go back. We were talking about, well, we were talking about a lot of things, actually, but let's move on to, there's a couple things. We were talking, I said, how does illness happen in the body? And you said that's anyone's guess, different things can create it. I'll tell you what I put here, you know, because our show focuses on mind, body, spirit. You know, this is a question now. So is it genetic, emotional, spiritual, or just physical or mental or all of the above?
It's all of the above.
It's all the above, which I know, but I'm just putting it out there for our listening audience. So if I talk about cures versus managing symptoms.
And then there's just luck. I mean, many people can have an injury that leads them to a lifelong ailment that creates a host of other problems. So, I mean, it's everything.
Yeah, okay.
It's your human frailty.
Human frailty, yes. I don't even, you know, it's interesting you say that because I've never heard a doctor say that. Weirdly enough, it's always either science or something else. I'm not talking about naturopathic doctors, but, you know, so I wanted to ask cures versus managing symptoms. Now, you know, I mentioned to you the thyroid, okay? What happened for me, I'm not going to go into my business. It's, you know, I've already, I'm not boring my audience with that. But just because you specialize, you said on your website that you specialize in thyroid and various things like this. When I had my daughter, nobody knew that I had a failing thyroid issue. Nobody. And, you know, Hashimoto's was a word that was rarely even used. back in 23 years ago. It was rarely even used. It was a disease for sure, but nobody used it, you know. And the first year I had her, I couldn't lose the weight from the baby weight I gained. And I was very good with my health because I was a nurse. So I knew how to eat healthy and take care of my prenatal things. And, you know, but there were issues in the first year. The first year I was so tired. I used to go to my doctor and say to her, and I chose an all-female, you know, doctors because, and I also had a homeopath standing by at the birth. I also had various other holistic doctors I went to. But basically, she was 6 years old by the time I got a diagnosis of hypothyroidism. And then another 4 years at least. And I did the research myself before I took that to my endocrinologist and said, I think I have Hashimoto's. And he was all blustering, like, you know, how dare I bring him a diagnosis? And I said, well, you know, I have every symptom of Hashimoto's. No wonder I'm not getting well and getting worse because I'm not being treated properly, you know. So this has been a long journey for me, you know. And I know I have now found out four of my best friends I grew up with, maybe it's five now, and everyone in my family, that's my mother who's just passed at 94, my aunt, my two brothers, and my sister, all have hypothyroidism or Hashimoto's.
Yes. So I still get, I just had a woman Tuesday afternoon come in that I believe probably has Hashimoto's. She's also has a hemophilia type of condition. And she's 70 years old, telling me about her sister, but I could see the lines around her mouth. And she tells me, oh, I have hereditary angioedema. And I went, okay. And she tells me about her sister who has to have her thyroid removed and how her bone, she has osteoporosis and things like that. And she's like, and I had this tooth extraction thing and, you know, all this stuff with the face swelling and the throat swelling and she can't swallow. And I said, you're 70 years old and nobody has done an ultrasound of your thyroid or run a full thyroid panel on you in your life. And it happens, it probably happens once a week.
Yeah.
And she said there's four people in her family who have this hereditary angioedema, which means they swell, basically. They just suddenly, and she's like, still don't even know why I swell sometimes, if it's food or whatever. I said, it's your thyroid. And we're going to test it, and we're going to test it thoroughly. A lot of doctors only run one aspect of a blood test, a TSH. They don't look at the antibodies, and they don't look at the whole picture closely at all. And seldom does anybody get ultrasound. And very often there are nodules, enlargement, but those antibodies with Hashimoto's can be very, very elevated. And I've even seen recently even young women of childbearing years who can't seem to get pregnant, who aren't being treated for thyroid, and they know that there's a nodule in there, and they know that the antibodies are sky high, and they're not being treated. Which is
it's really, I lost 20 years of my life to that miserable stuff, and it is miserable, you know. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't walk. I was so ill. My poor daughter, you know. I was crying just from the absolute. And here's me, a nurse trained in a lot of these different modalities, and I couldn't figure out that I was the toxic. I would try and detox, go on. Oh my God, you know. A lot of what was hurting me was my mercury filling, a lot. I had to do a lot of detox on mercury.
Yeah, I'll tell you what all the triggers are very quickly with the thyroid. A woman.
Yes.
Pregnancy, puberty, birth control, and menopause, and then mercury and fluoride.
Yeah, well, I didn't do fluoride, thank God. I knew about that, but it's in a lot of things you don't know, you know?
Things, if your thyroid just doesn't automatically snap back after an assault on it. And now, of course,
I really do believe it's a 20th century, virtually an epidemic that's so underdiagnosed. Because people used to get goiter.
That
was very obvious. But we don't get goiters anymore. We have all these subclinical symptoms that are now being treated with ridiculous things like antidepressants. Right?
Yeah.
Postpartum depression is all thyroid.
Yeah.
Periods and fibroids have to do with your thyroid. Brain fog and depression has to do with your thyroid. Swelling, that woman who came in on Tuesday, swelling in the face, that's something called myxedema. It has to do with your thyroid, autoimmune thyroid.
There are pictures of me with my face swollen. Yes, I've had that many times, actually. Yeah. And can I just talk to you while we're on this about teeth? Sorry?
Gallbladder. If your thyroid is not functioning correctly, your gallbladder doesn't contract as well as it should, and you get gallstones, and you have your gallbladder out. So anybody with very, very heavy periods, gallstones, gallbladder problems, upper digestive problems, trouble swallowing, problems with swelling, and just like these hormonal ups and downs, or they're just so tired and always down. It's thyroid. And if your doctor only runs one blood test, find somebody who will get into the detailed studies with you and check those antibodies like Hashimoto's. And then, you know, I just start right out with some homeopathic remedies to start addressing it, make sure the nutrition is getting it properly in there. So things like zinc and selenium, iodine, of course, but in small doses. And you know, it's very, very simple once you kind of hit the nail on the head, but everybody does react very differently, so you have to be careful. But, yeah, you have to start treating the thyroid. you have to find out if it's thyroid. Find out what's all wrong in there and start treating it.
You see, this is just to hear you say all this, it brings tears to my eyes. Because I'm sure you heard this 1,000 times from your patients who finally found you. You know, that you lose years of your life trying to figure out what the hell is wrong with me, you know? And you try all these different things. And then, of course, it's money. And sadly, you know, the NHS here, God bless it, is free. But, you know, if you go to other doctors off the NHS, like holistic practitioners, some of them know. I mean, I love my osteopath. She saved me so many times. She's not expensive. But, some are so expensive, you'd have to mortgage your house to go to them. I'm talking about certain functional medicine doctors. And then you have to get all the tests done, and that costs a fortune, too. And you know, so I try to mishmash. You know, I was using my NHS to get – I just today was at the hospital getting a blood test for my endocrinologist next week that I see. And I have to say – yes, can I just talk about T3 while we're on the thyroid?
T3 saved my life.
That T3 saved my life.
I have to tell you more about T3 too. So my back problems, I found out not that long ago, I have had Lyme disease. Now I don't know what the buzz is and you about Lyme disease.
That's a big story. Eye
opener. And now the research for chronic fatigue and things like that. I read an article about a little bit tiny amounts of hydrocortisone with T3, trying it out with certain patients. I had to try it myself. I would never have somebody take something. It was miraculous.
Wow.
I took T3 and my 30-year-old back problem felt so much better.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Some medicines are fantastic, and you can microdose them and cycle them.
Yes.
And it will save your life, and especially with all the hormone problems that we have now. You know, women's menopause is more – we live longer, too. Women's menopause is more protracted. When you're in menopause, like I said earlier, puberty, pregnancy, birth control, and menopause, your thyroid isn't functioning correctly.
And everything else hinges on thyroid hormones. And T3 can be phenomenal. Phenomenal. It's a fantastic.
T3 is, I just will tell you, I took all these papers, stacks of them, to my endocrinologist. Please prescribe me T3. I'm begging you. And he was like, no, we don't do it. I have to buy my T3 like a person buys drugs, you know, like smuggled drugs in. I have to buy it out of the country. I get it. So to all the women I know, I belong to Thyroid UK. We all have a little story going on in our groups, you know, online. Here's where you get, you can't even discuss it. It's in a private PM, you know, where to get T3 off the, you know, there are pharmacists, you can buy it abroad. They will not give it to you. They say it's too expensive, which is a load of codswallop. It's no such thing as too expensive.
I can prescribe it here, though, for patients, but also there are private pharmacies that will ship to the UK that I know of here. They, you know, they come to my conventions and stuff, but yes, I have heard this. Here, I can get it for my patients at a regular pharmacy, but there are also specialty pharmacies in the United States that will ship overseas.
Well, I have found a good one, but I'll keep that in mind because normally they're from Thailand, Cyprus, Turkey, you know, I mean, we're getting them like that. The problem, of course, is import. If they find out what it is, they seize it, you know, so it's ridiculous. And it is a life-giving, without that T3, I don't think I'd be here today, really. That's how much of a change it made in my system. I'm certainly not cured, but I am much better than I was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody in the chat room is asking a question about going on a diet. We'll talk about nutrition and diet in a moment there, Preet Balasiara. I see you in the chat room. Okay. I want to go on to cancer because it is the and we have about 9 minutes to talk about cancer. Then when we come back from our second break, we have so many phone calls, Maria. I'm so happy to tell you that. So we'll go to the calls, okay? So
okay.
let's talk about cancer. Cancer is a fungus, but cancer is the leading cause of death next to heart problems. Why do people get cancer and how can we cure it? And cancer is curable, isn't it? In holistic medicine, it is. Depends.
I mean, you know, my husband passed away of a brain tumor. I couldn't save him. It was a swift and horrible cancer that took him. And, you know, cause there are some cancers that are so bad.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And then there are predispositions to breast cancer, thyroid cancer. You know, there are familial genetic markers we can look at now for reproductive cancers usually.
Yeah.
Some cancers are certainly not curable. Certainly not.
Okay.
But, you know, the naturopath, it's hard to say to people, you know, what I do is prevention and it's wellness. People don't get it. It's preventing horrible diseases from coming to you. Right? Genes can be turned on and off. I'm sorry?
Yeah. Yes. Go on. Genes can be turned on and off. Yes. It is prevention.
Genes can be turned on and off with proper nutritional, but you have to flood your body with good things. And, you know, it's all about knowing yourself, taking better care of yourself. Wellness is cancer prevention.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It is. I'll ask you this, right? Why not? I'm shooting from the hip here. I read, and you see them online, lots of YouTube videos, the cancer is a fungus. You make the body alkaline, the cancer dies.
That's 30 years ago. That's the retail store answer for all of that. What I'm talking about is your individual approach. When you go to someone like me and you're predisposed to cancer or whatever, you have breast cancer in your family, uterine, ovarian cancer, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't give somebody a colonizing diet. I go all the way to the top. Homeopathy is wonderful for preventing cancer. I don't think people really understand that. carcinosin remedy made from cancerous tissue of the breast that is widely, widely used in a myriad of patients. But also, if you take that remedy periodically, you better believe you're probably preventing breast cancer. And then there are remedies that go with it, a few couple remedies. There's alternate dosing methods and Banerjee protocols, these famous doctors using homeopathy for cancer. And there's many ways of picking remedies to treat cancer. But also, if somebody, you, as trained physicians in homeopathy and naturopathic medicine, you could sort of see if somebody is probably going to get cancer and what type, right?
Yeah. What do you look for? What do you look for? That's very interesting that you say that. What is the thing that you think I'm looking at this person and knowing that they're probably going to get cancer?
It's not a thing. It's not a thing. You look at the person and you go, there's something going on in their gut here.
Okay.
Or you think, you know, there's a history here. I think it's in the lymphatics. Maybe it's in the breast. Or if it's a man, you think, you know, I'm looking at abdominal problems here. Things are wandering around. I bet it's the prostate. Right?
Right.
There's a sign, you know, you have to be very I pride myself on being a very good case taker. And you try to find, because when you meet a patient, you have to prioritize. They just don't feel well. And they can tell you what's wrong. But you have to prioritize what you're seeing, right?
Okay, yes.
And they're coming in for a stomach ache, and I'm going, wait, I think you have an underlying much bigger problem. Like that woman who came in for her osteoporosis, and I'm like, I think you have a very big underlying thyroid problem.
Yeah.
Right? And you have to pull it apart. It's like Sherlock Holmes on a case. And you have to go right to the priority. Because I have a man in my practice right now who came in, and I could see there's so many things going on. It's as if he might get cancer somewhere at some point soon. He's kind of falling apart. And I did just diagnose him actually yesterday with Lyme disease. And I said, if there isn't anything going on here, I'll eat my hat, and we're going to check that first. But you could be becoming very, very ill because you've been very sick for a year. And he said, I know, I can't believe it. I can't understand it. And, you know, I've got to put my thinking cap on and order the tests. And sure enough, he does have Lyme disease and Epstein-Barr. So hopefully he doesn't have cancer on top of that. I think if we get through it and he starts to feel better. But he was on all these medications to prevent him from having a stroke. He was on a statin drug. I was like, oh, first of all, don't take these four medications, and I'd like you to get rid of the fifth one here, and I'm going to get rid of your diabetes immediately, and then we're going to be really cooking with gas, and you'll feel much better.
Yeah, see, this is the thing about those horrible statins and vaccines. It's all toxic crap that does much more harm than anything. Okay, Maria, we're going to take a break. I can't believe it's going. See, I told you it would go fast. Next song is It Will Be a Good Day by Yes, and it's a beautiful song. Listen to the words from my audience, and then we'll take your calls when we come back with Dr. Maria Cronin. The area code is 858-956-3204, or you can chat in the chat room and ask a question, and we'll be right back in about 4 minutes. Here we go. It Will Be a Good Day, The River by Yes.
Golden Forest, Golden Lake, Sanctuary, State of Grace. Begin. It'll be
Welcome back to Cafe Esoterica Radio. Your host is Sean Cohen, and our guest today is naturopathic and homeopathic doctor Maria Cronin. Hi, Maria.
Hi.
Hi. So let's talk about, we're going to talk about just one other subject. It's just going to fly by. I've got three callers very, very patiently waiting to speak to you. I want to talk about diabetes and how you would treat it.
Diabetes is often secondary to current medication that you might be taking. The man I was talking about earlier, his diabetes, he's type 2 diabetic, of course. His diabetes improved drastically with stopping the statin drug. Drastically.
Wow.
Sometimes you're taking a medication that is making you diabetic, and if you stop that, your diabetes will improve instantly. Now, of course, the second part of that is diet. You know, just don't even bother with fruit. Don't kid yourself. And carbohydrates are going to be a very big deal. White foods, white bread, white potatoes and things like that. There's a whole system, and nutritionists have become very, very good at this too. And then you have to, but as a naturopath, a lot of people just do so well with just the basics, you know, get your nutrition up and your sugar intake and obviously stuff like that down. But fruit, people think they're doing themselves. I remember I had a diabetic patient years ago, and she said, I wasn't feeling good, so I drank orange juice all day, and my blood sugar was over 400. And I go, what were you thinking? She goes, but orange juice is good for you. I said, no, you're diabetic. So sometimes people need just that individual couple of sessions with a nutritionist with the, you know, five no's, you know, don't do this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
And do more of this and that. But, you know, if anybody hears me right now, fruit is not your friend. Of all the foods, just stay away from fruit and get your nutrition mostly from vegetables, and your blood sugar will be easier to manage. But then nutritionally, you want to take supplementation, things with chromium. You want to take a B complex if you have pains from neuropathy and things like that. And you can turn the corner. And there's literally everybody has a weight where, you know, if you're overweight and you're diabetic, I can predict it with a patient. I'm like, you know, if I see your weight right now, if you lose 15 pounds, you're not going to be diabetic anymore.
Yeah.
Like, no. I said, yeah. And very often it's a carbohydrate sensitivity. Very often it's familial. Some people have terrible type 2 diabetes, and their whole family is like that. Those are tricky cases.
Yeah.
And now there's so many diabetics that you rarely see those very sensitive type 2 diabetics, because so many people just eat too much junk food and they're too overweight, or they're taking a medication that's making them diabetic.
Yeah. There's so much more to talk about. Let's go to a caller. I have to bring in some callers here. They'll kill me because they've been waiting since before we went on air. Area code 914, which is Bradenton. I think it's Bradenton, Florida, if I'm correct. You waited the longest. You're on the air. Welcome. What's your question
Hi.
For the doctor? Hello.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. What's your name, please?
My name is Christine.
Hi, Christine.
I'm calling from Colorado.
Oh, Colorado. Well, I got it wrong. Okay, go on.
And I was just wondering if you could give me any advice on my the symptoms that I'm having. I basically have been having digestive issues for many years, and I don't know what's wrong.
Upper or lower?
It kind of goes up to my esophagus, all the way down to my kind of where my belly button area is, and I feel pain constantly all the time, every day. I've been to a doctor.
A good doctor, but if you have upper digestive issues like that, it could be all the way down to the thyroid. But you know, you want to look at your gallbladder. You want to look at H. pylori testing. So do you have burning or no?
Yes.
Burning?
Yes.
You want to check for an ulcer, H. pylori, things like that. Colorado is a great state for naturopaths. I'm sure there's someone close by. You want to pinpoint what the problem is and treat it specifically. And then, of course, food allergies. Right?
Yes.
You want to, but it's so complicated when you're trying to figure it out yourself. I would find a good naturopath near you and start with some preliminary things. Make sure you don't have H. pylori, which is a bacteria in your stomach that needs to be treated. Take a look at your gallbladder. Take a look at your thyroid. Run a full thyroid panel. We talked a lot about thyroid earlier. And start from there. It's an investigation process. It really is.
Right. Well, I've been to the gastroenterologist, and he did a endoscopy, and he checked for H. pylori. I don't have H. pylori. I don't have ulcers, and he didn't find any. He didn't find any signs of anything abnormal. He said there was a little bit of acid in the esophagus area, but not. To be concerned about, but I do have this pain every single day.
You ruled some things out. So if you're having it every single day, you got to look at your diet, what you're doing every single day. You know what the best thing I did for myself, remember earlier on I talked about all my back pain when I was in my 20s? The best thing I ever did was stop drinking coffee. That was one, that's a freebie.
Okay.
Stop coffee for a couple days and see how much better you feel. But also, food allergies are creeping up on people tremendously. If you have that every day, you're eating or drinking or taking a medication that is probably irritating you every day, you need to do some investigating.
Okay. I've definitely changed my diet multiple times, but I still seem to have the symptoms no matter what I eat. But I do want to try, like, a vegan diet. I think that that might help. So I'm going to try that.
Yeah, okay. I think she's giving you very good advice. Go to a naturopath so that you can rule it out systematically. Can I just throw two cents in here? My daughter, when she was born, we didn't know she had a milk allergy. And 22 years ago, she's almost 23 this month, they didn't even discuss milk allergies. It was a nobody ever heard of it. She threw up constantly. She, of course, she had terrible, you know, problems with her gut. And unbeknownst to us, although my intuition said to me, it's the milk. She can't drink the whatever, you know, I was giving her. And basically, we changed everything to goat milk, and she was fine. So I'm going to give you 2 cents. You probably should not touch dairy. I think dairy is going to give you that kind of really sour indigestion. Are you using any dairy whatsoever?
I cut back a lot of dairy. I just sometimes eat ice cream.
Yeah, I would give that a miss.
It's dairy is the most obvious thing, but it could be a certain carbohydrate. It could be anything you're taking over the counter. It does take an investigation at times. If you're having this long and you've already been to the gastroenterologist, I mean, I'd even work with you. I do a lot via telemedicine, but a very good food allergy test is a very good idea. The other thing would be maybe a stool analysis. You could have SIBO. You know, it gets more complicated the more you dig because you've already done some investigating. So it sounds like you need some testing to get very specific. I've run food allergy tests that were just a shocker. One lady even had her own chickens, and she was allergic to egg whites and yolks. I've seen strange. How do you avoid vanilla? Like, why would you ever think you have an allergy to vanilla? Somebody came out sky high on vanilla. Vanilla is in so many things.
Yeah, it is.
And if you don't know to avoid it, it slipped in here and there. And she was really allergic to it. So good food allergy testing can be a lifesaver if you've already done a lot of things. You know, you need to know. And it's several hundred dollars, but you know, you need to figure it out.
You're worth it. Invest in yourself. That's the best thing you can do for yourself, I think. Invest.
Thank
Invest
you.
In yourself. We have to move on, I'm afraid, but thank you for your call and good luck. And can I just say, as a person who's tried a lot of things because of my Hashimoto's, I have given up. Here it is, folks. Sugar, number one.
Nobody
I gave
should
up
eat sugar.
I gave up wheat. I gave up gluten. It's horrible, gluten. Terrible for the thyroid. I gave up dairy. I gave up eggs. And, of course, no bread whatsoever. So, you know, and that's not even all of it. I probably still need to give up more. The diet is really essential to a lot of illnesses, and it keeps you perpetually ill if you eat the same thing every day, of course. Okay, let's move on to the next caller because we're running out of time. Sorry, I don't mean to push people, but, you know, I want to get people in. We are running out of time. 647, you're on the air. Hello, say your name and what's your problem?
Hi, my name is Mandy. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome,
Hi.
Mandy.
Yes.
What would you like to ask,
Dr.
Murray?
I recently, I fractured my wrist, well, slightly below, and I'm like, 54 years old, and they suspect osteoporosis or osteopenia based on the x-ray. And so I started eating egg to help the fracture heal, and I try to do vegan, although I'm not a fanatic about it, and I had stopped eating eggs for a couple of years. And I'm wondering if that – I suddenly got bumped after eating the eggs, and I'm wondering if it is the eggs or something else. I don't think I did anything differently other than add egg to my diet, like hard-boiled egg in the morning. And I didn't break out immediately. I noticed a few bumps, and then slowly I got a little rash on my stomach, and then again a few days later on my other arm. Do you think that could be the cause, that the eating of the egg, that my body is just like you know, had adjusted to not eating it, and now all of a sudden?
Skin rashes can be hard to analyze as to what's causing it. So I would suspect you had skin rashes previous to this at some point in your life for it to be coming out now?
Not to the egg, but I have had, like, rashes before just pulling certain types of plants or weeds in my garden. But I don't think I did anything. Those are usually itchy, and this is not so itchy. Like, I mean, it's just, I don't know. Do you think it could be related to the eggs or no, not really?
I have no idea because just that little bit of information is not enough.
Yeah, I know.
But
people
don't realize eczema and psoriasis psoriasis is an autoimmune disease.
Mm-hmm.
So irritation, if it is kind of a lifelong thing, it can be something that you flare, and it could be triggered by food, it can be triggered by medication, or it could be a sign of, you know, your health is really dropping and your immune system is low. Rashes are very tricky to analyze. They really are. If all you did that was different was put eggs in your diet, then take the egg out, obviously.
Right.
But I would treat,
right.
I wouldn't, for a wrist fracture and osteoporosis, eggs are not going to take you very far. I would do a much more intensive look at your supplement regimen for your osteoporosis than just add eggs.
I've started to take calcium supplements and vitamin D, and but I heard you say that I was at one point diagnosed with prediabetes. So you say stay away from fruit. I was thinking of maybe adding bananas to my diet for the magnesium too.
Well, if you have osteoporosis, you're not going to turn that around with diet alone. I would go much more into the supplements, but homeopathy is amazing for osteoporosis. Because diet alone, you're already where you are, and you might be one or two standard deviations too low. You can't dietarily just turn that around. We get older every day, and you're done. It could be, you know, even a vitamin K deficiency. It could be a little bit of vitamin D. You also have to be absorbing things. You know, it's bigger than you think. But the rash indicates that, you know, there's a level of irritation there. Maybe the eggs are very irritating for you. And that can throw your digestion off. So with just that little bit of information. If it's just an egg that you put in, take the egg out. It may go away.
Yeah, no, I stopped eating egg. I mean, obviously I had no issue with it prior, but since I stopped eating egg, and it had been a couple of years, and I introduced it into my diet just for the protein and, you know, just trying to make some changes, and I noticed the bumps. Like, really weird. So
I would treat the fresh running up to process, not with diet alone.
Right, not with diet alone. So you're supplementing, of course.
And I would do homeopathy. I do homeopathy on those things. Yeah.
What particularly about homeopathy? Like, what do you suggest?
I can't. I don't know you, so I can't just pick a remedy or a series of remedies. That takes quite a bit of work.
I see.
Why don't you book a session with Dr. Maria? And because homeopathy is a very detailed. They take an hour at least to go through your history before they can even prescribe. So if you've never been to a homeopath, this is what's so beautiful about it. It is very detailed distinctly for you. So 5 seconds on a call-in show is not going to be appropriate. And she's right to say that to you. Okay? I have to move on now. We've got one other caller
before
the show finishes. We've got 10 minutes left, and I still have to wrap up the show. So I'm going to go quickly. I hope that's been helpful.
Thanks.
Let's move on to one more quickly just to try and get everyone in. 647 area code, you're on the air. Say hi and tell us your name.
Hi, this is Paul.
Hi, Paul.
My question was a diet one in the chat room. So I try to diet with peanuts and fruits all day, and I don't last even a day. I'm on antipsychotics, and I'm very hungry.
Right, that's a big story.
What is your question?
So how do I diet?
His question is, because he's written in the chat room, how can he diet? He's constantly hungry. Unfortunately, he's on some kind of psychiatric medications. And that's a big question, Paul. We may not be able to answer that today. But a healthy diet is not just fruit and peanuts. You have to have 3 healthy meals a day. That's why you're hungry. I'm going to let Dr. Maria answer that, but that seems common sense, right?
All you're eating are peanuts and fruit. That's not a well-balanced diet at all.
Yeah.
I would get a nutritionist locally near you and have some discussions about varieties of food. There's a lot of very good nutritionists all over the country now, and they can help you broaden your diet to things that you like that you can get used to making, but fruit and peanuts, that isn't going to sustain you very well.
Yeah, that's not even a vegetarian diet. Okay, thank you, Paul, for calling in. We're going to have to wrap up now. Thank you so much, Maria. You have been a wonderful, wonderful guest. And
invite me back. That would be so fun for me.
I would love to have you back. I will definitely bring you back in the new year. How's that? I'm only finishing up. I'm going to just tell my audience this. I'm going to do about 6 more shows at the most. And then I'm going to take another break. I take my little hiatus because the Hashimoto's, I got to take care of myself. See, this is what happens. And but in the new year, I will bring you back for sure. That is my pleasure, really. And folks, if you want to see a great naturopathic doctor and homeopathic doctor, please get in touch with Dr. Maria Cronin. And you can Google her and find her. Her surname is spelled Cronyn. And Maria, it just gives me time now before we go off air to thank you very much. And next week, folks, as I said, I'm going to the Justin Hayward concert in London, so I won't be here. And we'll come back the following week with Ananda Moore. Magic Little Pills is her movie.
You'll I'm
sure we'll love it. We will. So go and see it if it's in your name.
All right, Sean, thank you so much.
In this metaphysical zone. You're welcome, Maria. My pleasure. Really my pleasure. It's called In This Metaphysical Moment, Ginger and Lemon. As September sails in, the leaves begin to change into beautiful hues. I gather my herbs and my warm sweaters and bring in the goodness. Our bodies are seasonal, just like nature, and they need support for each time. So comes the herbal teas filled with goodness and the healthy diet to detox. And also our holistic natural practitioners we visit to heal, to cure, to reassess. In case of the sniffles, bring ginger and lemon tea to your lips. Cuddle up warm and sip. God's gardens are filled with herbs, remedies, and tinctures just waiting for us to use. In this metaphysical moment, I cherish and lovingly use natural remedies, which leave no toxic burden, but bring healing, not just managing symptoms. I support my local practitioners, naturopaths, homeopaths, acupuncturists, energy healers, health food stores, holistic clinics, and spiritually awakened mind, body, and spiritual healers who are in the know, bringing God's greatest gift to the planet, which is the love, relief, and compassionate cures for what ails us so all can be well and enjoy life to its fullest. And that's our show for tonight, folks. I wish you wellness, because God knows we all need it out there. And I'm playing us out with the wonderful, it's a 50-year anniversary of Woodstock. You know me, I'm an old hippie, so I have to say something, but I love the line, you know, we have to get back to the garden. And so here is the unbelievably talented, the goddess of folk rock, Joni Mitchell, with Woodstock. Good night. God bless. See you in, not next week, the week after. and we're out. That's it. Thank you, everyone. Thank you to my guests. Thank you to the callers and the listeners all around the world. Have a great next 2 weeks. See you then. Bye for now.